What's up, everyone? I'm the fill-in host this week for Mark, Zach, aka Highline Betting. This is Land Coin Bristol. We're going to talk some Phoenix recap and go over how we did last week, talk a little happenings in the NASCAR world, and then go over our bets for this week at Bristol. I have Rory with us as always. How are you feeling tonight, Rory?
Oh, just lovely. Trying to get over this shit.
Yeah, we can hear the cold still lingering in your throat there. I hope you get through
Think
better.
tomorrow is going to be thirsty
There
liquor
you
day.
get it all cleared out. And also this week we have Kyle, aka Auto Lotto, in our Discord. He's on with us, and he's going to give his opinions today. How are you feeling today, Kyle?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to being here.
No problem. So we'll start off talking about Phoenix. To me, it was just a typical Phoenix race. Yeah, the track is what it is. It suffers because it's early in the schedule and late in the schedule. If we only went there once, it wouldn't seem as bad. It's just the fact that, to me, that we go there twice,
And it's
and
the championship race.
yes, and being the championship race. If it
They got a
was,
nice facility, though.
if it was like New Hampshire, like no one cares about New Hampshire. Like, yeah, we know the race is boring, but it happens in the middle of July or June or whatever. So there's not a lot going on. You know, it's the nature of the track. I don't think anything they can do to really fix it that much. It seems like it might be better at some other tracks, the new short track package. We'll have to see how that factors in once we get to Martinsville and Richmond. But well, it didn't seem much to me this weekend. How about you guys?
Yeah, pretty typical Phoenix overall. I think this weekend, since it's, you know, we had three pretty exciting races coming in, and we got a lot of newer NASCAR fans. I think there's a lot of high expectation going into it. But overall, we've definitely seen worse races at Phoenix than what we saw this weekend. So that's my two cents on that.
Oh no, this one was pretty fucking bad. There was no passing. None.
Unless you're a Bell.
Yeah, I mean Bell was the only car that could just go and do whatever he wanted to. I mean, Truex looked good towards the end of the race. I mean, he made it back up there, but he was also on what 40 lap fresher tires or so. So I
Yeah,
mean.
I think he might have had a chance with Bell, but once he didn't pit there when everyone else did, he kind of gave up any chance. Just my looking at the data at that point, him and Bell were pretty fast. Like it looked like he might have had a chance at Bell, but we didn't really get to see it because of the pit decision there.
Speaking of pitting, what the hell were they thinking that you can make it to the end of the race here? Why are we staying out? Like, they couldn't have thought it was going to be that easy to get back through the field. I think they dropped a lot of teams dropped the ball.
Yeah, I think it was a terrible decision. I don't know. My
Put
bet.
my damn only bet that was looking good up, and that was Byron top five.
Yeah, so I'll go over my bets. I had Denny Hamlin top three, spun himself out, so that was great. Kyle Larson top five. He was coming through the field, and then he had a loose tire. Bubba Wallace top 10, and he was up there, and then on the restart, Briscoe and Jones got together, and then he was done too. So I had a pretty all the money I made on the qualifying bets probably gave it back during the race. Did you guys have anything or?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I did.
mean, fucking took all my damn F1 money that I won this weekend and qualifying money and fucking just got raped in this and, Justin Allgaier running away with it. Five laps to go and blows a fucking tire. Yep, that's my weekend in a nutshell. Oh, yeah, and my golfer that I took on the live tour fucked his damn approach shot up and loses in a playoff. So great weekend.
Yeah, feel you. How about you, Kyle?
Well, it sounds like I had a more fun Phoenix than you guys did. I had a lot of money on Busch, or personally top four, top three, top five. I posted top 10, which obviously hit since he got that second. And then my biggest bet I placed was that Carson Hose of our group, because he was paired with Justin Haley, Daniel Hemric, and Ricky Stenhouse. So That pulled through quite nicely. So not a bad week. I got Bell a little bit live too, just because 365 is next level when it comes to live betting. I'm turning into Rory over here on the outrights, but
I can't believe I didn't fire on him. I don't know. I just had a bad feeling about that race. Between what happened to me and taking Allgaier live, Allgaier top five, John Hunter Nemechek top five gets spun out. I mean it, and I was like, I don't think I'm doing anything in this damn bullshit ass race right now. People making mistakes, and then to top it off, the whole field gets flipped, and we'll just move on to Bristol. I think we'll do a little bit better this weekend.
I was surprised you didn't get on any Smith in the Phoenix race. I know you're on Chandler Championship, aren't you, Rory?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a championship race, right? Like, I hit Chandler too. I should have posted some of these, but
yeah, I mean, we had Algar.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
I did. Obviously, got
lucky on actually hitting Smith there, but
I did hedge Smith right there at the end at 400. Like, with I don't know how I text Zach. I was like, should I hedge this fucking thing a little bit? I was like, I got this bad feeling.
You damn near have to when you bet Justin Allgaier. He might be the most unlucky driver in the entire field. So
the only wrong decision was half unit instead of a full unit. That would have made me feel a little bit better, but
that's fair.
Way it goes. I can't fucking hit them every week.
True. Sounds good. Yeah. So the thing I noticed the most about the drivers' comments this week after the race on their podcasts, on other drivers' podcasts, is the elephant in the room every year for the last 3 years now, or probably even longer, but with this car, this is our third year, is horsepower, horsepower, horsepower. Larson saying it, Hamlin saying it. I like the drivers getting mouthy this year. I love it. This is something we haven't seen in a while, and maybe it's due to the charter negotiations not going well, but I love it, and I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I mean, we really haven't had a guy since Dale Earnhardt Sr. speak out against NASCAR until here over the past year or so.
Well,
and I think a lot of it has to do a lot with, I mean, whether you like Denny or not, him being a car owner, actually being involved in what is all going on, I think he's a great spokesman to bring up issues and different things and call NASCAR out. I mean, they're saying the same shit that we've been calling them out for the previous 2-3 years. I mean, the car is a shit box. It's a complete mess. It does very, very good on mile and a half, and everywhere else is just blah. I'm not impressed with anything outside of mile and a half. They could run mile and a half all year long, and the product would be good. They put on great shows, except Texas. But I mean, fuck, I'd rather watch Texas than the shit that I watched on Sunday.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of these drivers are starting to finally just speak up because they've been in this car for 2 years now. There's not enough changing, and they're just tired of running behind each other in traffic. I know. You hear a lot of onboards this weekend with drivers complaining about not being able to pass. So I just imagine they're just getting fed up with it. And it's just time to change, you know?
To me, it's just like, this is the third year. We still haven't fixed it. You got to take a big swing. Like, and then I don't know, like I'm older. I've worked at a bunch of places. This reminds me of, you get a new job somewhere, you work there, and you're like, why do you guys do this way? And the answer is just, well, that's the way we always did it. Like, they don't care. No one wants to listen. Like, they're not listening to drivers. They're not listening to the fans. I just don't understand. Like, make us shut up. Give it to us for one race and make us shut up. Or go to Richmond and Martinsville for a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Bring a bunch of different packages. Invite all the teams, don't limit it. Say, hey, here's what you have to bring, and we're going to be there for 3 days until it's fixed. I just don't It seems like there's no momentum to get it fixed. It's just like, oh well, maybe the tires will work this time. I don't know.
I think the teams have them by the balls, though, this go around. I mean, they're talking about a big TV deal and everything. Without the teams, NASCAR ain't shit. They can say whatever they want to, but this ain't 1970s, 80s type shit no more, where you can just be like, whatever, we control everything. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. Well, there's so much money invested into it now, and it costs so much to even start up a team. The owners know what position they hold over NASCAR right now. And, you know, things I feel like do need to change around there. I mean, if you look at stick and ball sports, the players kind of run the show, which I don't think is necessarily all the way right. I don't think they should hold the most power, but I also don't feel like NASCAR should just be raking in all the money and making it where teams feel like they need to be cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and ticket prices and everything else just keeps going up and up and up. NASCAR, you know, is just, they're like that president of a company that is not spreading the wealth out to its employees that are making them the money.
Yeah, I think, I don't know the gentleman's name. He's like Michael Jordan's business partner, and he was like in a lot of the labor negotiations with the NBA and stuff like that. So he is also part of like the 2311 team. So I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. And like, what's different from most other major sports is, so, you know, like Roger Goodell, he works for the NFL owners. You know, he's the commissioner, but he works for the owners. The owners don't have, there's no NASCAR commissioner that represents all them. And it's just them versus NASCAR. So it's a different structure. You know, I'm totally for the teams getting more and everyone else getting more. It just seems like a lot of things need to change for that to happen. And it's going to be interesting here with the charter.
I mean, it's nice seeing the TV ratings up, but you're sitting there thinking to yourself, how much longer is this gonna last? It's a rough part of the schedule if you actually want to see good racing, in my opinion. I mean, when do we go back to a mile and a half? April?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be – well, the Texas race, right? Isn't that the next one, I think? I don't even know if the top
– Yeah, yeah, it probably is. I think that's the next one, so they can get this repave.
Yeah, that's not till May. So –
Huh. Not a while for that. I will say, I don't really understand the point of all these like four car tests that they've been doing too. If they're not going to test at least half the field, how are you going to figure out what the car's like in traffic? So
yeah, that's what I mean. Just invite everyone. Say,
right,
here's what you have to bring. Maybe if you don't want it to be unfair, you could bring one car per two teams you own. So like,
yeah.
You know, 2311 could bring one car. Joe Gibbs could bring two. Hendrick brings two. Trackhouse brings one. If you want to limit it to something like that, perfectly fine. And I just want to, Texas race is in on April 14th. So that,
okay. So we're not too far off.
No, so we got
mile and a half.
Bristol, Coda, Richmond, Martinsville, and then Texas. So we're going to find out about the new short track package.
I'll say.
At the other tracks. If it doesn't rain or snow, I guess that's kind of crazy getting to this track so early. We'll see. All right. You guys, I know there was an IndyCar race last week. If you guys want to go over that at all, I'll be honest. I didn't watch. I focused my stuff. You know, I have a wife and kids, so it's like trade this for that. So if I want to watch the NASCAR race and get all my NASCAR stuff in, you got to give up other things. So,
that's all right. If you would have tailed us this week, it wouldn't have went very well either way.
That's good.
Penske showed up to the street track. They did not do very well on the roads and the streets last year. I expected kind of more of the same this year, and they decided to dominate the race. So my card was based on a bunch of Hondas and a bunch of the cars that were good last year. I guess I should have been looking a little closer at the Penske's during practices, because obviously I missed something there, but I'll go back to the drawing board and try to get it better. But yeah, one of the worst cards I think I've ever put out in the history of my capping motorsports in any series. So exciting time to start the Lanquin IndyCar podcast on a terrible note. I'm glad we're doing a recap and not like telling people what to play on the podcast, I suppose. But room for improvement. I know Roy did a little bit better than I did, right, Roy?
Yeah, we cashed a nice matchup on Herta over Felix Rosenquist. Luckily, that was a awesome lap that he ran, staying out a lap longer, and hell of a damn pit stop. I think he gained 2.5 seconds during that span. So put him in front of Felix, cashed that, cashed a little Pato top three, missed out on Pato outright, Herta outright, and lost the whatever the hell that match was, fading. I don't even know it lost. So it was pretty much a probably a half a unit day plus that I put out.
That is a lot better than the bloodbath that went on in the NLD Discord on my page. I'm not even going to go over it. If you want to go check it out, go for it. I'm not hiding it, but I ain't going to flaunt it. That's for sure.
Well, to be fair, Lundgaard getting a flat tire right off the bat killed one that I think we would have had a good shot at. And Erickson was actually winning his matchup when he had engine problems, pretty sure. Mechanical something going on. So
couple of the reads weren't terrible, but when I was that far off on the outright, it doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? So we'll bounce back. I think Joseph Newgarden is probably your championship favorite by a good bit now. I didn't expect him to be good on roads and streets. If he's going to be good on roads and streets, you know he's going to be good on ovals. So there's my 2 cents long-term on the IndyCar season.
Finish on the oval too, so.
Yeah, so there's more ovals this year than there are streets and roads. So I think if Newgarden has anywhere near the championship lead going into the Indy 500, it's his to lose, that's for sure.
Gotcha. Him and old Pato might have him a championship battle.
Pato, and I'll add Scott McLaughlin in there.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Scotty Mac.
It's the Penske's just look that strong to me. Scotty's keeps getting better and better. That would be the other. I think willpower is still good, but championship is still rough when you got Newgarden and you know, then McLaughlin as your teammates. So overall, it's probably one of those two.
Yeah, I like Scotty. He's aggressive. That was a hell of a damn start. He was like, I'm going to make up three positions right off the bat.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He is.
All right. That was a little IndyCar recap, so we're going to jump into Bristol now. I'll start with the poll bets that I usually give out every week and go over some of those stats. What I'll say first, if you look at the poll stats, Hamlin and Bell – dominate. One of them's probably going to win the poll. They're 2.5 and 3 to 1. I just can't bet it. So the bets I made, I went with William Byron. He qualified third here last year. I was able to get him at 10 to 1. I got Chase Briscoe. He qualified second in 22 here in the next gen. Also, I just feel like he's been qualifying well this season. I know it's not any of the same style tracks, but to me, qualifying is a different skill set. I look at it like that. And then Noah Gregson, 60 to 1, I just couldn't pass up. Again, he's been nailing qualifying laps, so I think he has a good chance to make the final group, and then we'll take our chances and see what we get. And then one final one is a head-to-head I have is Reddick over Logano. Reddick in this car has started in the 14th position. Logano's average starting position at this track in the next gen is 21st. Logano is in a slump right now, and Reddick is on the upward trend. So I just think those are all the bets I liked, just looking at what I could see when the odds were released. Just another a note I always want to make with these qualifying head-to-heads, you need to check what groups people are in, because if you have guys in different groups going against each other, technically someone can go faster, but start further back, and you would lose your bet. So I would just always recommend that. Always take a look at that. Are either you guys jumping into the qualifying bets, or you just tailing, or anything else? Kyle, you got anything?
I just tail you every week. That's it's the easy way to make money. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Rory?
I tailed last week. Tail this week. I might add one. I added Reddick last week. I was thinking about adding Tyrone the way he's been qualifying.
He is the last to go out this week, so I could see that. I like to stick to 3-4 and then get a head-to-head. I do have, with the guys I recommended to bet, two are in Group A, one's in Group B. So I may add a Group B guy as we get closer. You'll have to be in the Discord to check that out. Just be aware of those groups and stuff like that. No Xfinity this week, but we do have trucks.
Disappointing
and best series around, man. They always have a good race usually. So Rory's got some truck picks, so I'll have him take it away from here.
Oh, I don't think Kyle fucking Busch needs any explanation for Bristol truck. And pissed off probably from a shitbox truck last week. The way I look at it is Kyle's going to pit after the first stage. Kyle's going to probably qualify on the pole. Kyle's probably going to lead every lap through the first stage, and then he'll ride around and stay out for the third stage. We'll stay out at the end of the second stage and be back in the lead and probably lead the last whatever laps of the third stage it is. So I think getting plus 150 on Kyle at Bristol in the trucks is pretty damn good value. So I've seen it a lot worse before in my lifetime, more like minus 125 to start. So that plus 150 is not going to be there if he pulls it. It's going to be ugly.
Any concerns with his pit crew or anything like that from the Vegas race?
Yeah, I mean, basically, they're just going to do one stop.
Yeah.
After the first stage. So, even if they really screw that up, I don't think Kyle's going to have a problem getting back into the position he needs to be in for the end of stage two. So, I'll take my chances.
That's something I take into account, like when I'm looking at my stuff is, okay, even if they have a terrible pit crew, if we're only going to make one stop, it's not going to really matter that much. So I kind of agree with that.
I mean, is Zane and him the only cup regulars this week?
I believe so.
So, yeah, I look for him to capitalize at a place he loves. And got to roll with a little Taylor Gray, plus 375 top five. I feel like Taylor Gray is a short track guy. I grew up on short tracks. I expect for that kid to win at least one, if not two races this year. So he looked good last week, fast truck, and the week before last, not last week, but when they were at Las Vegas, he had a fast-ass truck. So Tricom looks like they have their shit together this year, and I look for him and Heim to be up there on a weekly basis. And got to go with a little Gray, minus 115 over Nick Sanchez. It's not a mile and a half. I don't know why this matchup's minus 115. I have no fucking clue, but we'll take it.
Sounds good, man. Kyle, you got anything for trucks?
And if you want to go by the power rankings, pretty sure Gray's fifth in the power rankings and Sanchez is 12th.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So there you go. 7-spot difference. We'll roll with it.
So Kyle Busch's race. The Spire trucks are fast. The only matchup I saw that I'm going to get early, and you guys know I'm heavy on Raja as an overall driver, and I saw that he's minus 120 over Lane Riggs right now over on DraftKings. So I'm going to take a piece of that. Lane hasn't really done anything all year, so I'm going to wait until he does something to prove that he actually deserves to even be a part of this matchup, because Raja just keeps running well. So that's all I've got right now for trucks.
I like that.
I understand why you'd take Kyle Busch, too, though. Those Spire trucks are quick this year. So,
yeah, I mean, I like that matchup though, because I think Lane Riggs is going to be a guy that second half of the season maybe starts coming around a little bit, but he's got to get some racing experience under him. I think he has talent.
Yeah, I kind of. Lane is almost exactly where Raja was last year. Raja has the talent last year, but he wasn't able to put races together. Lane has the talent, but right now he's not putting races together. Raja's putting some races together. So I want to say Raja was like 12 in the rankings and Lane was in the 20s. So the rankings also back that up. So I like that one.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I haven't bet anything for trucks yet. I really haven't even looked. I don't really like when Kyle's in the truck race. To be honest, I'm not a big fan when the cup guys come down. So I kind of, I mean, I'll watch it in live bet if anything comes up, or I might grab like a top three or top five or something after practice. I'll have to wait and see. But let's talk about the cup race. Which one do you guys?
One thing, I think Eckes and Heim both are going to be really good Saturday night. I don't know if they're going to be. I think you'll be able to get them live if Kyle Busch is dominating at a better number than plus 600 to kind of help you have a few outright. But anytime he's in a race, especially the trucks, I really don't see the need of jumping on people too damn early when you know the live odds are just going to be skyrocketed.
Yeah, when Kyle's in a truck, you pretty much got to wait to make sure that that truck isn't. If that truck is anywhere near good enough, he's going to win the race. So you just got to kind of watch practice and hopefully he doesn't show up with a piece.
Yeah, I just, it's not my thing. So I'll just, you know, wait. It does kind of suck that it's Saturday night, the race, and even qualifying and practice isn't till Saturday. So there's like no on-track activity on Friday. So we're going to wait till Saturday this week, but we'll wait it out. I'm gonna throw it to Kyle first, so you can go over all your bets, and we'll scroll them up over on the bottom while you're going over it.
Perfect. So this weekend, I've been looking around. I haven't played anything outright right now because I think the top of the board is pretty accurate. I started this week with the guy who's finished well last week. It's real good on the short tracks. I'm going with the little Chris Buescher top five. I got it over at either Caesars or 365 at 2-1. I think that's a pretty good number that if he qualifies anywhere near the top 10, they'll probably be gone just because of his track record. The second bet I put out, I've got a couple bets on this driver, is I like the new Penske Front Row Alliance. So I'm going to rock with some Michael McDowell, top 10. He's good here at Bristol. I got it at plus 240 on DraftKings. And then I've got him in a matchup over Noah Gragson at minus 115 over on ESPN bet. That's actually the biggest bet I've placed so far. Michael McDowell has 23 cup starts on Bristol concrete, and believe it or not, Noah Gragson has zero. He had the dirt, and then he got suspended last year. So he's been good in Xfinity. It's not like Gragson's a slug by any means, but Michael McDowell's last five finishes at Bristol were 6th, 11th, 24th, 10th, and 7th. So I just think with McDowell's experience and his new faster car, that gives him a pretty big edge over Gregson, pretty much even money there. And then did you get all five of my bets? So I got a little, maybe.
Top five for Buescher.
Buescher.
McDowell top 10. McDowell over Grayson.
Gregson.
Hosovar plus 300.
That's, gotcha.
Truex top Yote. And then yep. Truex over Logano.
Perfect. All right. So I don't know why I second guessed that, to be completely honest with you. But like he just said, I think Carson Hocevar at Bristol has been good in the past. I think Spire in general, both in trucks and in cup, has been better than they've ever been pretty much. So I'm rocking with Carson top 10 at plus 300 over on Caesars. Kind of a smaller bet on that one. But if he comes out and practices well, I'll probably go back to that well. And then I like the Truex top Toyota more for value than anything else. I know Bell and Hamlin are going to be strong, but at 12-1 after the way he just ran at Phoenix, I like Truex just a little sprinkle top Toyota, maybe Bell and Hamlin getting to each other. There's only six Toyotas, so I like to look at the bottom of the top Toyota pretty often. And then fading a guy that you think will be bad in qualifying, who's been bad just in general so far this season, I got a little Truex minus 115 over Joey Logano.
Gotcha. Rory, what are you looking at? I know me and you are on a lot of the same stuff, so I don't have a scroll for me. I'll just jump in when you're done.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about the outrights. Found this. I'm going more so with gut. There's not a big difference in the power rankings, but going off of how KFB was last year at Bristol and Elliott finished in the top 10, I think I got to take a little jab at Elliott plus 100 over him in a matchup. I mean, not giving up any juice, and I think Elliott will probably outqualify him and stay up in the top 10 somewhere around there, and Bush would be more your middle of the pack, 15th, 20th place car, unless something has changed from last year. So it's not a slam dunk huge matchup, but something I think is worth a unit. And we'll see what happens if after qualifying, if it looks even better, we'll see how it's readjusted and go from there. And gotta go with a little Tyrone Giblets at top five plus 225 over on Bet Rivers. Kid looks good. I was high on him coming into this season, and he has not disappointed so far to start. So best average finish in Cup, and way he ran last year at Bristol. I mean, Denny was on a different planet. Larson was next, and you could argue. I mean, I think he finished what, fifth? I think towards the end of that race, but I'll take him. I'll take him any day of the week at a track that I think Gibbs should excel at, especially him. And I'm higher on him and Hamlin and Bell more so over Truex here, but I like the kid. I think he's aggressive. I don't think he backs down, and I think Victory Lane is getting ready to come up very soon for old Tyrone. I just want a little bit more than plus 1200. I mean, I'll wait live, see how the race shakes out, and go from there. I already have enough outrights with Buescher and Keselowski to start the week, so I didn't feel the need to really add another guy at plus 1200, even though I think, what did he open, plus 1800 on Caesars, but I was late to the party.
Yeah, I saw 18 on him, and my number for him was 22, so it was lower than what I needed. So I kind of just on opening numbers, I try to take value. So the bets I went with is on opening, I got Buescher at 15 to 1 to win. I just think RFK is really solid at this track. They're gonna be in contention. They're gonna be up front. Him and Brad are both really good here. This is RFK's time to shine. I would like them for top fours. I think they're gonna be the showcase four team this week. And I actually waited out. I know Brad opened at 10, and then by the time everyone, I mean, that's kind of the good thing. So everyone was betting Gibbs down. So then Brad got adjusted up, and I got him at 15. So I'm pretty happy to get both the RFK cars at 15 to 1. I don't see them being any lower or I mean any higher this week. So I like to take that and just put it in my back pocket. And we'll make our adjustments. I'll make my adjustments after practice and qualifying. And that's, when I'll be more confident, probably put, more money down, bet some top threes and stuff like that. I'm a more wait for practice and qualifying type kind of better. I like to have as much information as possible, is what I'll say.
Is Brad's winless streak up too?
I have that. Hold on. I got it. I was
Murphy has
looking
that.
at it. I was looking at it. You,
This is
well, if you,
Millhouse's week.
yeah, we call Brad Millhouse if no one's ever heard that. It's like 105, I think.
Ooh.
It's just, I feel like he's got to win, man. He's been so close. He has the talent. He should have it. I mean, I feel
he
like,
had it in the fall race 2 years ago.
Yeah, and Richmond, he was good at. He was good at not bad at Dover. He's not bad at Darlington. I mean, those are the kind of tracks I look at. I mean, everyone doesn't look at the same thing. I'm just going off of what I do. But if you look at like who's won at Bristol, it's And I'll say besides Buescher 2 years ago and like a random person here and there, it's the best of the best, the top quality. It's champions winning, you know? So like, I don't really get into many deep odds on this for, to win the race, because I just think it takes a lot to win at Bristol. It's 500 laps. You got to know how to conserve your equipment. I mean, the first next gen race here was a complete disaster with blown tires. The Toyotas had steering pump problems. So there's just a lot of stuff that can happen at Bristol. I love it for live betting, though. I mean, I think it's a great live betting track. Once someone makes their last pit stop, like to me, always when I watched Bristol growing up, and I think Elliott Sadler proved this 1 year, like he who pits last first usually has the best chance to win. We'll see. I know they're putting down some of that resin shit in the bottom. I think last year it would take like 150 laps before that wore off, and then they would move up into the top groove. There's just a lot of things you're going to have to watch out for. I don't think the new bodies really matter that much this weekend. I think if you're Bristol, if you're good at Bristol, you're good at Bristol.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I saw RFK as a team at like 625, 650. Would you be interested in that at all, Zach? That's something you're going to wait for.
Where are they at on the, like, are they like the fourth or fifth team? Or are they third?
I want to say they're the fourth.
I would look at things like that and then probably wait. But that sucks, though, because you only get two guys. And if someone else is betting like Gibbs, they're getting four cars. So, like, I wouldn't like that type of bet at all. Just not my type of bet. Rory, yep. got anything else?
That's all I got.
That's all you got, Kyle? Sorry, Rory, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I have I'm not trying to get but so deep, because somebody has a bad qualifying experience that you still like, you're going to get a better number on them. I honestly could not see Bell, Larson, or Hamlin I don't think they're going to go anywhere from 550, 600. I mean, when you got three guys that are coming in, it would really take one hell of a practice session and a hell of a lap to change that all that much. So I just don't see them going anywhere but up, you know, a little bit higher.
Yeah,
not worth taking coming in.
I was looking at my notes from last year, and this is the race Larson, he like slipped in qualifying, so he ended up starting 36th, but he was like one of the best cars and right up front. And I looked at it, it looks like in my notes that his odds did not, like he was still like 5 or 6 to 1 starting 36. So those guys
garners a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Two guys. It does not change.
I want to talk about two more guys real quick. Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott. They're like 18, 20, 22 to 1. Kyle Busch has won here 8 times. Are we missing it? Or we just know that he's going to suck? What do we got?
He's going to suck, but I could change my mind
after practice. You're not full fade Kyle Busch right now, but maybe after practice you will be.
Right. I mean, it's hard to fade a guy at a track that you expect for him to run well at, but something's missing over there at RCR on certain tracks. They got it together on some, and then other ones, for some reason, it doesn't matter if you want to go back to the Reddick days or if you want to go back to all of last year. I mean, a lot of times it's like that with Austin Dillon too. Most time, if you think KFB is going to be good at a place, Austin Dillon's probably going to be a top 10 car, where Kyle Busch is up there contending for wins. I mean, that's just the way that I look at RCR right now. They run pretty damn good on road courses, and most mile and a half they seem to have it together, but the short short track package has been shit for them over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard to have a lot of confidence in what RCR is putting out short track after what they did in Phoenix. If they show something,
I mean, I like what I've seen from Elliott last week. I mean, he's probably going to leave out of there with a top 10 finish last week, if not for staying out and getting the field pretty much inverted when they all had to pit on the next caution. So I just got a little bit more confidence in Elliott out qualifying them and staying ahead of them the whole race.
Now on Chase. Sorry. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, with Chase, I mean, you've got the Hendrick car, so they're at least going to give him a piece. It's just a matter of how he's actually going to perform with it at this point, which has been up and down lately. But he's got the track record here, so I would definitely lean Elliott over Busch. I like the idea of that matchup too. So
I just liked it because of the plus 100. No juice. I don't feel like that matchup should be anything but minus 115.
Yeah, and I just wanted to bring those two up because those are two guys that we're used to seeing at the top of the board, and now they've been pushed down to the middle-ish. I think the next 2 weeks for Chase Elliott fans is very, very important. If not now, when?
Yeah.
When's he going to show it? I mean, he's been good at Bristol. I mean, and then we have a road course. He's supposed to be the best guy, one of the best guys on road course. I don't think he's one of the best guys on road courses anymore. But maybe we can put the fork in him after Coda here. But I don't see him as one of the best road course racers anymore. I think Reddick's better than him. I think Byron's better than him. I think McDowell's better than him. Suarez is probably better than him. Larson's probably better than him. It's an interesting 2 weeks where he's either going to tell the Chase haters to shut up, or he's going to give us a lot more fuel for the fire. Even Richmond Martinsville, like he was good at Martinsville. So it's going to be interesting. I'll say,
happens. I mean, there's so many other drivers and teams now that have either gained experience over the last few years that were maybe a little bit too young or whatnot, and it just seems like they've passed Elliott. I don't know if it's the broken leg still having an effect on him now. Gustafson seems to not be an elite crew chief anymore. I don't know. They could go out there and prove us wrong here over the next month, but I just he ain't going to have shit for Red Dog next week.
There we go.
I mean, Red Dog, Byron, Larson, Suarez, probably Ross, maybe a little Alex Bowman might even fucking outrace him next week at Coda.
How about who's in the 16? Is it going to be SVG or is it AJ?
I believe it's Dinger next week.
Or it's not SVG?
I'm not 100% on that, but I think it's Dinger next week. I know he's in there this week because he's in the Cheetos Mountain Dew car. Have you guys seen that scheme?
Yeah. So yeah. Will they not run 30th then, since it's AJ and they have a sponsor that's not, a foreign company that has one location?
I haven't found a good way to play him, but I would if I find value on something. It's AJ Allmendinger. It's the actual driver in that organization. So.
I'm comfortable playing him or SVG next week, to be honest. I mean, I think SVG proved himself last year that if there's anywhere that he's gonna compete is on a road course. So
he's been good on the ovals to start the Xfinity season. I've been impressed with his consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, he might actually turn out to be a little something if he can get away from Kyle Lee.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Matt, he's Trackhouse.
It has this. Yeah, sorry, guy.
That's right.
Yeah, he's Trackhouse. He's
Trackhouse car.
He's loaned a colleague, basically, by Trackhouse at the moment. So he's got a car coming for him. But my bad, Zach. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say he. So his schedule, I found it, but it doesn't say. It says it's not clear whether these races will be at 16 or in a Trackhouse entry. And I might add
for SVG.
Yeah, and I might
I know.
Worse.
I know I saw 2311 got Kobayashi next week to come back and race, so I wouldn't be surprised if Trackhouse puts out the third and puts SPG in it.
I'm looking at the roster portal at NASCAR. There's nothing on there yet. Let me check out one more thing, see if I can find something. I'd like to know who it was, because I think that would be nice, but we'll worry about that next week. You guys got anything else?
I don't think so. We're getting ready to fire up the IndyCar pod, so definitely check that out with me and Rory here soon.
When's the next IndyCar race?
Next IndyCar race is at Thermal, March 24th. It's a goofy million-dollar race with heat races and all kinds of stuff. So we've got lots to talk about.
I'm going to sound like ignorant IndyCar non-fan. What the fuck is Thermal?
So Thermal Club is a 19-turn road course in Palm Springs, California, created in 2012. They tested there in 2023, and now they're doing like an all-star race basically there this year.
Is this like the community?
For like rich people, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a community, but they have like a race car track. Instead of a around golf course community, it's a race car community, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I could get down with that.
It'll be interesting. I don't know how exactly we're going to gamble it, but that's what we'll try to figure out.
Yeah, so, good luck with that.
I think they got 4 test sessions or something beforehand, so we're definitely going to wait for those to place bets.
Yeah.
Rory, any final comments?
Nah, we're only got two races this weekend, which is somewhat kind of a relief and then somewhat a little bit of a disappointment. I've been having fun with fucking Formula One.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. When is the electric go-kart race on?
The electric go-kart race is Sunday, I believe. I don't even know what time. I haven't even seen it.
Where they're at.
It's Roku channel. Yeah. It's the most random.
Do you even know where they are? If you even get like what country they're in, I'll be happy.
I wanna say it's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say I thought it was Saudi.
Yeah, I think it's Saudi Arabia. But I could be wrong.
If you guys
we might stay undefeated with that thing.
Hey, my dumbass will post some plays in the Discord. So just if you wanna tail along on my electric go kart race.
I would say it's like watching Mario Kart. There's weird rules, so good luck. I tried. It's not for me. Pass.
You just didn't tell me, you know. You would have hit, but, you know.
No, it's actually in Brazil.
Oh, it's in
Brazil.
Is it? Oh, there
okay.
we go.
Yeah.
We're
clearly the best Formula E cappers out there, so.
Might be the only one.
We might be the only two dumbass.
Nah, I think there's some in England, man. They're actually about it overseas. But we're probably the only American Formula E cappers.
I mean, if they would just give us some sprint car, late model fucking dirt, whatever. I mean, we'd bet on that. We'd bet on anything with fucking wheels.
If we could bet on the car store, I would definitely bet on that.
Yeah, I'd bet on drag racing. That's another thing I would love to bet on. But
they have those, right?
Yeah, it's 365 have those?
Caesars
right? has drag racing? Oh, I saw that. That was a different state. I did see someone comment about that.
Oh, so that's not every state.
I don't think I've never seen that in Indiana. But yeah. I don't know why exactly. We also didn't have SRX last year for like no reason. So,
fuck SRX.
Yeah, that's fair. It probably save me money, but
I bet like one race, and it was the race where someone blew an engine and like 6 cars wrecked, and they only have 3 backup cars. So the guys I bet weren't regular racers, so they didn't get a backup car. So basically, I bet the NASCAR guys, you know, that were there.
Yep.
So yeah, I lost all my bets. Great, fun time.
I never watched one single SRX event.
Yeah. Well, that's why they went under, Rory. They needed your support.
I wasn't all that enthused with that ugly ass fucking car.
I just realized I forgot. I've got thermal. Little plastic thermal. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's what the fucking track looks like.
That's bananas. Huh.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. That's why I was like, how are we going to bet this? 19 turns, and I want to say like 8 or 10 of them are low speed corners, which is.
It looks like a Pato or a Palo.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I might have to bet some Penske's too. That might be a McLaughlin, right?
Scotty.
Yeah.
I'm always down to bet Scotty. I don't know how the fuck I managed to not have him top 3. last week. I just thought from starting from ninth, I didn't know he was going to gain three spots before they hit the first turn.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't know Penske was going to be that fast either. But we'll talk about that on the pod.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to head on out. We're going to hopefully cash some more bets this weekend, lay some more coin down, and have a good weekend. Everyone else,
I might have a land coin jacket actually sitting out. I should have fucking put the check and put it on. It's in Lynchburg. I don't know if it actually made it into the mail truck. That sucks. I'm going to have to go look for that now.
All right. Well, Rory's going to go get his jacket. I'll expect
that next week at this point. So.
Yeah.
Got to represent the brand.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Get in the Discord if you want all our plays and picks and everything like that. We post them all in there. Marks are in there. Tom, our F1 buddy, he posts his F1 stuff in there. So just come on in. We like to chat. NASCAR, F1, anything. Rory was chatting some golf earlier today, I saw in there. So come on in. We don't bite. We have a leak to have a good time.
Pterodactyl is one of the best golf cappers I know. That nice. Was mentioning stuff over there and put his card out. I want to say the fucker hit 22 or 23 outrights last year between all the tours. So,
nice.
Yeah, he's on it.
All right. Let's have a good weekend, everyone.
Beer don't. Go. Beer don't.